messenger of Our Lady of Fatima, and was solemnly promulgated by the first Bishop of Fatima as truly containing the essential conditions and requests of Our Lady for world peace. Some are reluctant to place so much emphasis on Our Lady, as much emphasis as God has done in choosing her to be the instrument of the Incarnation and the co-redemptrix, mediatrix of all grace. Some are even a little shocked at what Our Lady said of herself: God has entrusted the peace of the world to me. And she repeated this at Akita so explicitly. She said, I alone am still able to save you from the calamities which approach. Those who trust in me will be saved. Now, the simple explanation is that God has so ordained. He brought salvation to the world through Mary, and as the mother and queen of the world, he has entrusted her to save us, to bring us to the foot of the cross, to bring us to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, as she showed so explicitly in her first apparition to the children of Fatima, where the light from her heart caused them to be lost in God and to see the true presence of our Lord in the Eucharist. It is our mission personally to obtain this light from Mary's heart and to bring that light into the world. Now, the encyclicals of the Holy Father in our time are most important, but very few people read them. And for that reason, the Blue Army has published a little book called Who is the Woman of the Apocalypse? It is a little less than 100 pages, but it presents in a very popular, easy way the encyclicals Signum Magnum, the Great Sign, and Ad Caelum Reginam, to the Queen of the World. And now, a cell meeting discussion concluding this program about the voice of Our Lady today. But what words of Our Lady, Jim, seem to strike you as more important perhaps than others, that strike you in a particular way?
When Our Lady mentioned what offends her most is the want of respect by some to her Divine Son and Holy Communion. I feel sometimes that at Mass every Sunday from the pulpit that there are many, many who are receiving Communion and not going to confession frequently at all. It is never mentioned, and I think that's where maybe much of the offense that she speaks of can be avoided.
Yeah. Of course, also, Jim, the first Saturday devotion is aimed directly at that. She asked for a communion of reparation on the first Saturday in reparation to her Immaculate Heart. I shouldn't be taking the word here, but I think this is really a tragedy of our time, that, you know, there's so few people go to confession. I think we're all deeply concerned about this. But this is one of the reasons we need to pray to Our Lady so that she can enlighten the consciences of people. We're lay people. We can't get in the pulpit and tell people what to do. We can't tell priests what to do. So how can we address this? What is Our Lady telling us to do?
One way is by our own personal example. We don't realize many times how people observe us, especially if we express ourselves as spiritual people. And many times what we do speaks much louder than what we say. So by our example, how we conduct ourselves, many times we'll refer to another person and give them an example for what they should do, what they may be doing or could do better, what they may not be doing, what they should improve on. Our own example plays an important part.
I think so. On a one-to-one basis, speaking with other people, we can bring out the fact, the importance of confession before you go to communion, and I think the message just will get there.
We can do it in the cells. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, if we get people to come to these cell meetings, we can get across the words of Our Lady.
We're spiritual, but many of the devotions have kind of gone by the wayside. I think if we return to devotions, will improve.
You're right, Robin. This is why Our Lady is asking us to use the rosary and scapular, because she will give us the light.
That's right.
Now, one of the things that impresses me most about the apparitions of Fatima was that the first miracle of Our Lady, when she appeared to the children the first time, was that she lowered her hands and a light from her heart caused the children to be lost in God, and they saw our Lord in the Eucharist. Now, a lot of people don't realize that. You have to study the memoirs carefully. But when Our Lady told the children in September that she would come in October with the child Jesus, when Lucy repeated that to Francis, because Francis couldn't hear Our Lady, Francis said, "Oh, good, then we'll see our Lord a third time." Because they had seen our Lord in the light from her heart in the Eucharist the first two times. That is really, I think, the triumphal of Our Lady's heart will be that light. People will recognize the true presence of Jesus in our midst. So the ultimate answer to your question, I would think, Jim, would be to spread this devotion to Our Lady. Mm-hmm. And because the light from her heart will accomplish what all the words in the world couldn't do.
That's what Robin said.
I often wonder if she is referring to the way, the manner in which they do receive. I have been, you know, serving Mass, and I see the way some people take the host, and you know, they take it as though it's just a very unimportant item.
I know. And that breaks Our Lady's heart. What offends my heart the most, she said. Stacia, what are the apparitions? You said, what are the words of Our Lady struck you most?
Well, I think the words, "make this known to all the people," to me, it encompasses everything else that she says. For instance, she said, "God wishes you to undertake a mission for me." Well, the form must be prayer. She constantly emphasizes prayer. And as I say, I think it covers all the other message, all her messages, to get people to pray.
And then another thing that is impressive is that at Pelvoisin, Estelle Faguette, who was 32-year-old woman, thought after she saw Our Lady and was going to be miraculously cured that maybe she should become a nun or something. So she asked Our Lady, and Our Lady said, "No, you can be saved in every state, and you can make known my glory." Now, what can we lay people do? You know, Stacia, you say those words strike you the most, but I feel helpless as a lay person. How do you feel?
I think that we can just observing, I think that we have noticed, and this is very surprising, at the Holy Cross Hospital, there have really been people walking out with the host. And I think we can watch and stop that. We've gotten up and had to stop them from walking out the church out of the chapel with the host in their hands.
But what can we do? In reference, Our Lady said, as you said, she repeated in various apparitions, "Make this known to all the people, to Estelle Faguette, publish what I have told you, publish my glory." But how are we going to do it?
But many times we're inspired in one way or another. I know I've been inspired. Jim has been inspired. Most every one of us here probably has been inspired to do something. Our Lady is speaking to us to tell us what she wants us as one person to do. It depends upon whether we act on it or not. I know, for instance, a personal experience I had with a living rosary back up north. It was given to me like a motion picture. It came to pass, and it went on for 5 years in succession. I'm very thankful that God gave me this grace to be able to do this, to be a part of it. Other people are being inspired, but we have to act on the inspirations. They don't have to be big scale. They can be small scale. Maybe we're inspired to go over to someone and talk to them. Sometimes just speaking to someone, you don't know the effect it can have. Jim has done this. I have done it at different times. We probably all have. We don't realize what effect one person to another person can have. And maybe that person is affected, but they may go to someone else who in turn is affected in even a greater sense. We recently sent a spiritual bouquet to someone as a get well. I had the inspiration to put in a pamphlet on divine mercy. The one I got out was on the hour. The lady was so struck by it, she had never heard of it. Her mother had never heard of it. another lady was told about it. The lady is now making copies of the prayer to distribute. This is how our Lord works through our... For those of us who have devotion to our Blessed Mother, especially, we are so gifted. I've said this to people. Those of us who have devotion to Our Lady have such a very special gift from God. Not every Catholic has it. It's a gift. We should appreciate it, be thankful for it, and grow in God's grace through it by making her a part of every single day of our life, every hour, every moment. Speak to her as I talk to her like my mother. And it's such a wonderful feeling. It really is. We can't have anybody as a greater intercessor for us than our Blessed Mother.
You know what impresses me? People listening to this tape are going to be sure, oh, you know, John Haver went out and he got very special people, mm-hmm. you know, and selected them very carefully. And that just is not the case. I mean, we just happened to meet, and you know, these are not exceptional people. These are just people who have been responding to Our Lady, wearing the scapular and the rosary, and all of this wisdom and this light simply comes from doing what Our Lady asked. But I just don't want people to think, that's a very special lady giving that message. But that is absolutely beautiful, Robin.
Sometimes just putting a message in a letter that you're sending in a card.
Yes,
I've had people ask me for many others, and I've done that. And the scapulars also. We hand them out in the hospital, and you're talking with a person, you give them a scapular, and they want to know about it, and you tell them the story, and it makes a whole difference.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say about the scapular, promoting it and encouraging more people to wear it will give them more faith than they've ever had. It has me.
Works miracles.
And I've only worn it since I've been down here, you know, through the Blue Army message. And I just feel so close to the Blessed Mother. Now, if we can encourage people, more people, to wear it, I think that would be a good way to spread the message of the Blessed Mother.
You know, I was surprised at Stacia's proposal that the words that struck her most were, make this known to the people. Mm-hmm. I would have thought that something about the chastisement or the annihilation of nations or the miracle but that's interesting that out of all that Our Lady said, you felt that was...
I think so. You know, we're all apostles, really, and this is, we're here, not we should not totally depend on the trained ministers and priests, so forth. We should go out and do that. We can do it as well as they can.
Mm-hmm. I think this is what Our Lady is saying to us.
Stacia has a point there. Why wouldn't it be a good idea if a group got together in numbers and went to the priest, the parish, says, here's some things that we would like to have answers to. Why can't we do this, and why can't we have your cooperation and your support and your endorsement of this? Our Lady is speaking to us. We're speaking to you. What can we do to go ahead and further this plan?
Yeah. And I'll tell you what's most important, Jim, is if he says no or just says come back another day, mm-hmm. that you keep coming back.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll tell you now. You know, I've been a leader of an apostolate for 50 years. First the scapular apostolate, and then the Blue Army, started in 1940. So that's 50 years. And the biggest thing I hear from people is, we want to start the first Saturday and Father won't allow it. We want to have the rosary before we after Mass and Father won't allow it. But oh, you know, I used to travel a lot with Bishop Venancio, who was a great, great saint. Really, you know, when I use saint, I use it in the word that he's canonizable. And he used to say, remember what our Lord said? Knock. And knock again. And you remember how he gave the example of the judge that was waked up during the night? That's what you must do. He said, persevere. Never, he said, do something that the priest doesn't approve. But keep knocking until he says yes.
So why don't we... first of all, I would feel that if a group, the initial group, would get together and plan a strategy on how to go about this, the original group will discuss who in that parish has a great impact on the pastor or a great influence on him, and get a group of those so that when the pastor is listening, he's listening to a group of people that are not just a few people he doesn't know. That would be the beginning. We did that with Our Lady of Fatima Circle in Pittsfield. I happened to be the bishop's interior decorator, and we got his okay to start the group. And that's the first Saturday of every month. A group meets, goes to confession, mass, communion, say the rosary daily, and it's been going on now every Saturday, every first Saturday, for the last almost 40 years. The group still is moving, huh?
Consecutive,
uninterrupted, yeah. First Saturdays, not five.
During the war.
So, 400.
So what an inspiration.
After the war.
But what an inspiration. I mean, for any group to realize that they have the effort of starting it, but it can grow and grow and go on for, and the graces go on forever.
For a spell there.
But listen, Jim, what do you think? I think the first Saturdays would be the right thing to start with.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I think that's the best.
Because people are going to learn.
I mentioned to her many times, I mentioned to Robert many times that I would like to start, but I don't know too many people here. We're new, see? I'll start Our Lady of Fatima Saturday, first Saturday of the month.
Well, our Blue Army cell in this parish has the first Saturday. As a matter of fact, Stacia runs it. But it's not very well attended, Stacia, is it?
We don't know what to do about that. As I said, if we could get, I think with our new priest, perhaps we can, you know, speak with them and they may help promote it because they're very interested in the rosary.
They're very, very gung-ho.
But have we ever asked for a pulpit announcement for the first Saturday?
No, we haven't. But when Father Foley first arrived, I mentioned to him that we're going to continue the first Saturday, and he said, well, anyone who loves the Blessed Lady is with me. And so I think that now that he's been installed as our pastor, we can speak further on it.
You know, that's right. In other words, more has to be done.
Right.
Maybe, listen, that would be a good point for other people who have a first Saturday. They shouldn't be content with the number of persons who were there and saying, oh, well, we're doing the first Saturdays. First Saturday should be parish day. It's the parish renewal day. It's not a personal renewal. It's a parish renewal day.
I just want to say, with anything that you do, you need once in a while to revamp. In other words, to critique yourselves. It's the same thing with our Fatima group in Pittsfield. You can settle into the same routine with the same people doing the same thing basically month after month. I don't really think that's what Our Lady wanted. I think Our Lady wants growth. If we stay in a small circle, we become like a clique. I think you have to go out, you have to think about what you're doing and ways you can improve to get this word out to other people who maybe are unfamiliar with it, who if you would ask them would come, maybe get an idea of it and might invite someone else. You need to critique yourself so that you can improve. You can't stay doing the same thing over a long period of time because you go into a slump.
Okay, well now listen, out of all the words Our Lady said, we focused only on two. You know, I'd like to call attention to another one, see how it strikes you. Twice in two apparitions, well, almost all her apparitions, but very explicitly to St. Catherine Laboure and to St. Bernadette, she said effectively, I do not promise to make you happy in this world, but in the next. And also to Estelle, you will have much to suffer, but I will, same at Fatima. You will have much to suffer, but my immaculate heart will be your consolation and the way that will lead you to God. How does that strike you?
Well, in line with that, when there was a statement in here by our mother that her eyes were ever upon us and that there were graces if only we would ask for them. I think in our society today, we don't live with the idea of suffering in this life for the eternity of total bliss, of total joy. We're brought up to live now, get what we can out of the world, and when sorrow or suffering comes our way, we're not prepared for it. That should begin in the home, but it certainly should begin when we come into the church proper. It should be taught so that we accept it and we embrace it, not fear it, as most of us do now. I mean, when suffering comes, we have to deal with it, but we don't like it. I think we need to realize that this is what we're all about, that we are a people on a journey, and this isn't where it ends. It's the beginning of the real tomorrow. But we have to have the right psyche about it, and I don't really think we do that. But if we could really understand what our Blessed Mother is telling us when she said that she's ever with us, she really is present in our lives, and she wants to be, we have to do our part to make her present. There are graces there. We have to understand what is it that she's saying when she says, people are not asking for the graces. They're there. How do we do this? What are the graces that she's talking about? If we can make people understand that the scapular is her garment, we become clothed in our Blessed Mother when we wear it. And the scapular and the rosary are intertwined. They're together. They should be one. We need to encourage this to make people realize these are all beautiful things that are so pleasing to our Lord when we honor His Blessed Mother, our Blessed Mother.
Beautifully said, Robin. Yeah, that was beautifully said.
You're expressing the thoughts of all of us very well. I think also there's a little connection between Our Lady saying, you will have much to suffer, but my Immaculate Heart will be your consolation, I will be with you always, and so on. That we can look upon rejection, which is the suffering that we always get in this apostolate, because the devil is there fighting against anyone devoted to Our Lady. Yes. She even said the priests who are her, especially devoted to her, are going to be the ones most attacked, even by their fellow priests. Our Lady has said that in various times. So that very rejection and suffering can be a sign of Our Lady's nearness.
Yeah, you need to understand.
Never, there was never this little pinprick there. It can say to us, Mary is with you. She's close with. She's, you know, she's going to. Her Immaculate Heart is going to become one with yours.
To really understand that and embrace it, that would be such a comfort for those of us who want to be close to Our Lady, so that when that comes, we don't feel like we must be doing something wrong, or, you know, we begin to feel a sense of hopelessness about the way we're living and the way things are going, because one thing seems to follow another in a negative sense. If we would rather think that our Blessed Mother is with us, we're trying to be good, she's not going to desert us, we have hope in her to come to Jesus, we don't have to despair because she's with us always. If we could always concentrate on that, we would be able to deal better with what we're bombarded with, you know, from time to time. Yes.
Is that the but way none you of us, feel? None of, because I feel that way.
But none of us feel that the words about the chastisement or the you know, worse than the deluge and the fire, none of these don't seem among the most important words of Our Lady to us.
Yes, I think we're well aware of that, John. I think we're well aware that we have to overcome them by prayer, by getting people to join us and pray with us.
Yeah, but what impresses me is that when we came to discuss the words of Our Lady, none of us thought chastisement, fire from the sky. All we thought of was,
feel protected.
We feel that Our Lady is close to us in these visitations, that her words are consoling, mm-hmm. and that she's challenging us as laypersons, specifically in the instance of Estelle Faguette, where she says specifically, no, stay in your lay state. You can publish my glory. And I think what most of us are feeling is a sense of responsibility. Isn't that what you thought, Stacia?
Very much so. I think, as I say, we really are all apostles, and it's our responsibility to go out there and to convert people. It's what we can do and we should do, just by little means of praying with them sometimes, going to the sick, visiting them. And also, I think we ought to start with children.
Yes.
We could start with the very young and teach them the fact that there is a Blessed Lady that loves them and will be with them if they only pray to her.
It's so true about the children. You know, that's really where our future is, if there is going to be any. And so many children come from broken homes or families where both parents work, or they're busy with one activity or another, and they're not really unified as a family the way our Lord and Blessed Mother want them.
But how can we reach children, Robin?
Through our parish, really. Or if we know of children in a neighborhood, and we can organize a group whereby parents would be willing to let a group get together to discuss our Lord and Blessed Mother. There are a number of ways as we're inspired. Each will be inspired in a different way if we really want to. I think it's so important for the children to be touched. They want to be reached. It's just that they need someone who will reach out to them. And if there's no one there, what are they going to have? So many of the young people today, what do they have as a background? The parents don't really even have the basis for teaching them. So they look to someone else who does. So if we as lay people are inspired and we have some background, then we do have a sense of responsibility. And I feel like these people do, that the children are a very vital force for the future and very much in need of being instructed in the ways of our Lord and Blessed Mother, the way they want them to be instructed, not the way the world wants them to be instructed.
Well, the practical way for us are the cells, the Blue Army cells, and the cells for the youth. If the adult cells, if we get someone in an adult cell to start sponsoring a youth cell. But this is hardly developed at all, anywhere. When I was at Fatima the last time, a woman came to see me with her daughter, and her daughter is an adult now, but the daughter had fallen away from the faith, and the mother had prayed, you know, like St. Monica. And the daughter came back, and little by little, the grandchildren. But then her daughter and herself wanted to dedicate themselves to the youth apostolate. They even bought a special house in Ireland as a center, and they want to start the youth apostolate. But they're finding it very difficult, and they're looking for light and direction. This is a whole new area for development.
You know, one thing that you should maybe explain in your tape to people who are interested in really helping children is to explain, like, for instance, the cell, what its structure is and how a person or a group of people would get together to start a cell, not only for adults, and that's important, but for children, to know what it is that you really do, what you're supposed to do. We need a sense of a step-by-step procedure to get started, and then once that's done, it can pass from one to the other. But I think a lot of people, like myself, are really wondering, what really are we supposed to do? I mean, we may be inspired to do something, but you need a pattern, you need a plan.
Well, we do have a cell manual for adults, and they have it. They have a cell manual. They have it. That's how to do thing for youth in the Blue Army, and our handmaids are publishing a beautiful magazine called Hearts Aflame for youth.
Can I say something about that? I've mailed it to my grandson, for instance, who's 14 years old, and he's been reading it, and he's become very devout. He never goes to sleep without saying his rosary. He's 14 years old. I think he's shown it to his friends, and that's what I mean by working through children.
Yeah. Well, that's Hearts Aflame, and if you write to the Handmaids of Mary Immaculate in Washington, New Jersey, they have a whole youth program.
Well, John, it was amazing when I taught CCD to know that the children did know Hail Mary and Our Father. And I just said to my co-teacher, I said, I want one area, and before this term's over, they're going to say their Hail Mary, their Our Father, and a Glory Be. And I did. And I took that group of fourth graders, and they all knew their Hail Mary, Our Father, and Glory Be before the term ended. But it was amazing to know that they didn't know anything.
That's happening today.
Yeah.
I heard a priest say that much, I mean, that children did not know. They're evidently being instructed in a sense, but not really learning. And you have to question, what materials are they using to teach the children? Some of the materials today are questionable. I mean, they're not really learning as our Lord and Blessed Mother want them to learn.
I think we can close on the note that Our Lady usually appeared to children. She entrusted them with her words, the very words that we've been studying and by which we've been inspired. And the children are very dear to Our Lady. And maybe we underestimate the ability of children to grasp and understand.
Just one last thought from me, and that is this. Everything has to have a beginning. We discussed many things, but next thing is action. And in order to get these cells, you have to have adults. Like Mary was teaching the children, if we can bring about a group of men and women to Our Lady of Fatima Saturday, the first Saturday every month, that would be the beginning. We have to have a beginning. And if we can have that group grow and then introduce the idea of the Blue Army, you have a
nucleus. Yeah. We should challenge the First Saturday people to bring others onto the First Saturday.
The nice thing about the First Saturdays, John, the reason why we have this, we had First Saturdays Mass, wherever they wanted to go, but we had a breakfast. We had a breakfast every First Saturday after the 7 or 7:30 Mass.
And a speaker.
And we had a speaker fulfilling the 15 minutes of meditation.
The meditation.
And we always had some good speakers. And it really, you know, encouraged good attendance.
And that's why faithful attendance, right, Jim? Faithful attendance by men over a good many years.
We've had the bishop come. We've had leading Catholic people.
Are you going to do that here? I think that's great. See, we have our first Saturdays, not too many people. It's amazing they come to Mass and they don't stay for the rosary. And I don't understand it. It's so convenient to stay.
I'm surprised.
If they're encouraged by the priest, by the pastor announcing it on Sunday, I think that's very true.
If it were explained to them, if people knew about the promise of Our Lady.
That's exactly right.
I think the idea, too, that many people are devotional in a very private sort of way, and if we could really express in a way that would make them desire to come together as a group, knowing that wherever two or three are gathered, that's where our Lord and Blessed Mother are, it's so pleasing to them. If it could be presented in a way that would inspire them to come and be part of a group for part of their devotions rather than do them privately, it might increase the fold.
Well, we pray that other cell groups may be inspired to go out and do likewise. Inspiring each other, remembering that the model of the cell are the three children of Fatima, instructed by Our Lady herself. These three children met and recalled the words of Our Lady, what she has told us to do, remember my words. And remembering Our Lady's words, they were an inspiration to each other. They helped each other make sacrifices. And through this first cell of three children, Our Lady has literally shaken the world.